You are listening to a podcast from Influence Church. We hope it encourages and empowers you to make a difference in your world for the kingdom of God. For any more information, visit our website, influencechurch.co.uk. Enjoy the message.
This morning, welcome to Influence Church. If this is your first time here, then we're just thrilled to have you with us this morning. If you've never been before, then make sure you do grab hold of one of our new, what I'm calling a welcome brochure. Just sounds that little bit posher. So you can grab hold of one of our new welcome brochures. You must say it in that way, and it will give you a little bit more information. And again, that same QR code is on the back with all sorts of information that you can click and be part of. And if you are new to church, not just today, but any time in the last 6 months, let me just add my invitation to what the guy said on screen about the DNA course. We love DNA course, and we do this every 6 months around as a church. We've been doing it for 15 years, so we are clocked up well over 30 courses in this season of church. And we encourage everyone to do DNA. If you've never done it before, or maybe you did it, but it was years ago, and you want to be refreshed in the heart of who we are as a church and what's going on and who is that person and what do they do and where does my money go, DNA is kind of a one-stop shop for you to find out that information. We host it online on Zoom to make it really accessible, not just for you, but for all locations. So there'll be people on from multiple locations across church on Wednesday night on Zoom. See one of the welcome team or the connection point if you want any more information on that. But as you've heard multiple times this morning, today in the global church is Pentecost Sunday. And it is the day that we celebrate in the diary of the Christian calendar. It's the day that we celebrate and we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit upon the early church, just as Jesus had promised, just as it spoke about in the Old Testament. And we are, as Influence Church, we are a Pentecostal church. And so for us, this is not just a kind of religious occasion. It's not just a traditional celebration. It's not just a random thing that appears in the calendar of, oh yeah, we should say something about the Holy Spirit. It's a reminder of the power that we live with every day by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to get into more of that in a few moments, but we're going to pray this morning. So why don't we jump to our feet and let's make sure that we're stirring our hearts and our spirits to receive what it is that God wants to say to us by the power of his Holy Spirit this morning. Lord, we just thank you that we get together in your house this morning. What a joy it is to be amongst your people, to be amongst your presence. And Lord, this morning, we want to hear your heart for us. Lord, we pray this morning, Lord, I pray that my words would decrease and that your words would increase. Lord, I pray for each of us this morning, Lord, that we wouldn't come with closed minds or hearts or preconceived ideas, but Lord, we would be your people ready to receive what you want to say to us. We thank you that your word is alive and active. It's got power and authority to speak into our lives. And so by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, we pray that we would hear from heaven this morning so that we could know more about you and become more like you, we pray this morning. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You can grab your seats, and we are in a series all about the Holy Spirit at the moment. So Pastor Ed started this message called Pneuma a couple of weeks ago, and we're taking a couple of different breaks from it. We have a different message next week, and then right throughout the month of June, we're going to be focusing on this word, Pneuma, which is going to be an amazing approach to Rise Conference, which is happening at the end of June. If you're not signed up for Rise, then I encourage you to be there. It's going to be amazing. And Pneuma comes from a Bible word. We don't read it as that word when we read in our English Bibles. Who knows that the Bible wasn't written in the English language, that the New Testament was written in the Greek language and it was translated to us. And so the word that we read here as pneuma comes from this Greek word that means spirit or Holy Spirit. The origins of the other word come from into the Old Testament that you would go in Hebrew and you would not read the word spirit. You wouldn't read the word pneuma. You would read the word ruah. And ruah means to the wind, to blow, or the breath of God. And another translation says, the breath that brings life. That's really powerful. That when we talk about the Spirit of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we speak about this word pneuma, which is the breath that brings life. Now, all of you, I would imagine this morning, we know that breathing is reasonably important to the body. everybody, hopefully before you came in this morning, didn't need that level of education, that it's reasonably important for your body that you keep breathing. It's one of those kind of health tips, throwing out some advice for you this morning. One of those health tips, it's up there with, you know, eating and drinking and blood that flows around your body. We kind of get the idea that the breathing is an essential for our bodies. Now, occasionally this will happen to some people. I don't know who these people are. Occasionally someone say, oh, I've totally forgotten to eat today. Oh, I haven't drank for hours. Admittedly, it happens less for some of us than others. But for some crazy people, they get to like 3, 4 in the afternoon. Like, oh, do you know what? I forgot. I just haven't had anything to eat today. I've forgotten to eat today. But in my experience in the last 42 years, never once, occasionally I've missed a snack or two. But never once has it got to kind of mid-afternoon. You go, do you know what? Totally forgot to breathe today. I'll just sit and just enjoy it for a while. Ooh, it's been a while. Now you get those overdramatic people, and they say, I've been so busy today, haven't even caught my breath. Now, when you hear them say that, call them out as a liar. Like, that is absolutely not true. There's not a chance that however busy you've been, however chaotic your children has been or busy your work life has been, every one of us never forgot for more than a couple of seconds the importance of breathing. It happens all of the time, and therefore it's something that we probably take for granted about the consistency. It's not until you either lose your breath or even have weakness in your breath that you realize just how important it is. That our breathing affects everything. And the Bible teaches us about the Holy Spirit, that the Holy Spirit is this word pneuma. It's the breath of God that breathes life. It's not something that's meant to stay on the outsides as an annual celebration or, oh yeah, I should remember something about the Holy Spirit. It's supposed to be part of something that is an essential part of our Christian faith. That isn't just reserved for certain people or certain times or certain occasions, but it's the breath that breathes life into every one of our days, into every moment of our faith. And that is where Pentecost begins. So we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. And Acts chapter 2 is where we read about the thing that we celebrate, not just on this occasion, but on every day, about the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon the church. This breathing of life is exactly what Pentecost is all about. So Acts chapter 2, it will be on screen, but if you've got your Bibles, grab your Bibles, because it's important for us to learn where these passages are and how we can unlock them for ourselves, not just when we're in church. Acts chapter 2, verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. It's talking about the disciples, the early apostles, the early church that were gathering. Jesus has just left them in his ascension to heaven, and they've gathered together. They were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. So, if we go right back to the beginning, right at verse 1, it tells us that they were gathered already for Pentecost. That Pentecost was already, when we're reading here 2,000 years ago, Pentecost was an existing religious occasion. It was marked in the Jewish calendar. It was a Jewish holiday where many people would come back from the villages and the towns and the other places, and they would come back to Jerusalem. That's why it says they were all together in one place. That wasn't just the disciples. Many people had come to the city for this occasion. Pentecost was an existing religious occasion. It was celebrating 50 days. Pentecost, the word Pentecost, means 50. It was 50 days after Passover. And so they were celebrating this religious occasion. It was known at the time as a festival. It was sometimes called the Feast of Weeks. It's similar to a kind of harvest celebration. And so the origins, the history of Pentecost went way back. We read about it here because something significant is about to change, and we're going to unpack that this morning. But this was an occasion that was already being celebrated for different purposes, like a harvest festival, the Feast of Weeks. But it's because of Acts chapter 2. It's because of the verses that we've just read that something significant changed. You see, from this day forward, it wasn't known as the Feast of Weeks or a celebration. It was known as the birth of the church. that when the Holy Spirit came upon the church in Acts chapter 2, it changed the whole purpose, it changed the whole meaning, that Pentecost is now celebrated for this one reason, the Holy Spirit entering the church. Because who knows that a powerful move of God always changes something. And this was the second occasion something significant has been changed. We read in our diary, in our calendars, we know that through the birth of Christ, when God sent his son to earth, something significant changed. We went from BC, before Christ, to AD, Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. So something significant changed at the birth of Christ, and something powerful took place on the day of Pentecost. That from this moment forward, it was known as the birth of the church. So happy birthday, church. There is no cake as far as I know after the service, but Pentecost became about the power of the Holy Spirit coming upon the church. And this is where what you and I know as church today, this is where it began. This is where something changed. It wasn't just about what happened on this day, but it's actually about what started on this day. Because something happened in that day. It started in this moment, but then it continued to spread throughout the world. Right from Jerusalem all the way to Richmond, North Yorkshire, and probably some other places in between. Something started this day. And the breath of God that was breathed into the church that day through the power of the Holy Spirit was something that they had been waiting for generations. That when you study back into the Old Testament, you find out that this wasn't just an occurrence that happened without understanding, without expectation, but it was actually something that they had been waiting for. If you study back into the Old Testament, you look at books like Isaiah or Ezekiel or Joel or Zechariah, Old Testament prophets that spoke about a move of God that was going to come. That something was going to change when the Spirit of God came. And if you follow the passage in Acts 2, which we won't now, but as you follow the passage, Peter gets up, the apostle Peter, and he gets up to preach to the people. They have this amazing encounter, and then they get this amazing opportunity to tell the crowds that are gathered, because Jerusalem's already a big city. But remember, thousands of extra people have come for the festival of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. And so he gets this opportunity to stand up and speak to the people and tell them about what's happening. And he starts by reminding them of the prophets that they knew about from the Old Testament. That even at this stage, if they weren't followers of Christ, they knew about the prophets in the Old Testament. And he quotes to them from the prophet Joel, in Joel chapter 2, verse 28. And he reads these words. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. So he goes back to this source of authority that they understand, this prophet in the Old Testament. He says, what you are seeing right now, what we're experiencing, this is just what was promised to us. See, the moving of the Holy Spirit in the church was not just something that was promised by Christ, which we'll read about later, but it was prophesied for generations. For hundreds of years, they've been believing, they've been waiting for this stirring of the Spirit of God to come and breathe life into the church, to do something that wasn't measurable on a human level, that wasn't achievable by our human effort, but was something wholly supernatural. It was the breath of God. And it wasn't just coming for a moment, it was coming to breathe life into the church. You see, the church, as we know it today, at that stage, was this gathering. One room of 120 believers gathered together, a little bit shaken, a little bit uncertain of what's going to happen, because they've had this incredible ministry with Jesus. Then they had the death of Jesus. Then they had the resurrection of Jesus. Then he came and met with them and he ministered to them. And Jesus has just left this earth and ascended to heaven. So there's a little bit of uncertainty going on. They're like, what does our future look like? He told us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, but look around. There's less than the people in this room gathered together. And they're like, what are we going to do? How are we going to do anything of what Jesus called us to do with just us? And you'd look around, like you look around the church right now, and you're like, look at this random bunch of people. Like, I'm good, but what about them? Like, I'm all right, but have you seen the guy three rows back? Like, how are we going to do anything? And so the church in this stage has all of this potential, all of this potential that Jesus had spoke about, but it was empty until the breath of God came and breathed life. The seats weren't empty, but it was empty of power, because they looked around and said, what could we possibly do? How could we do anything of what Jesus spoke about? We've got nothing to offer. And so the church had all this potential, but it was empty until the Holy Spirit came. I imagined it a little bit like, a balloon that you would get at a party shop, a balloon that you're going to get to blow up to celebrate somebody's birthday. And when you buy the pack of balloons, unless you're going to kind of get a couple of those helium balloons that they charge you extra money for and they fill up in the shop and it creates a display. But most balloons, when you buy a packet of balloons, they don't come filled, they come empty. They come empty. You get a pack of 12, a pack of 24, and you're like, what am I going to do with this? And you know that when you buy a balloon, its purpose is not to stay as it is. Its purpose is to be filled. Like if you were celebrating a significant birthday of one of your children or one of your parents, you're like, we're really going to go to town. I've bought a 50-pack of balloons. We're going to hang them all around the ceiling. It's going to be an amazing celebration. And you think, I won't bother to fill them. I'll just hang them like they are. And so you get the string out, and you even get the extra ribbon, and you twirl in the ribbon, so there's all nice curls. And you're like, I haven't got time to fill them. We'll just hang them as they are. And so right the way around the room, you've got 50 balloons, and you're like, isn't it nice? Don't you like the effort that I've gone to? And you're like, yeah, it's really good. Thanks so much. But because its purpose was not just in its existence, its purpose was to be filled. That if it comes empty, then it's like, well, I see what you've done, but surely there was more that was supposed to happen. Surely it wasn't supposed to just look like this. After everything Jesus had taught them, after all the miracles they'd seen, after the signs and wonders, after the prophetic words going back 400-500 years to the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, and they're like, this is the church? This is it? And you're like, no, it starts like this. But it's until the pneuma comes, it's until the breath of God comes that something has to occur. See, it starts empty, but you go to the party. Tim might organize the birthday party like this. Sharon's 40th birthday party could have looked like this without intervention from good-hearted people in their life group and the hard work of senior pastors and other people to say, it's a big deal, Tim. You got to actually like blow up the balloons. You were just there, Tim. I'm sorry. See, the church, it started in this empty form. But when the breath of God came, suddenly they started to realize, okay, there's more to this than we thought. It isn't just us. It might still be just us in that moment. If you go on and read the rest of Acts chapter 2, you realize that God adds their number. When Peter preached, 3,000 people you escaped, and you're like, this is the church. But 120 people gathered around, even with the power of God, they're like, what can happen? But it's what started at that point. It's what began at that point. You see, the church only began to have purpose when it was filled with the breath of God. The gathering wasn't the significance. It was the coming of the breath of God that started something that day. The church really began when they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And in Acts chapter 2, what we read about is landed by you, Tim. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 2, we read about the wind and the fire. Says suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind. It wasn't wind, it was the sound of the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed, it wasn't, but it seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. So we read from verse 2 about the wind and the fire. Now we know that the wind comes from this word pneuma. It comes from the Hebrew word ruah. This wind represents for us the breath of God. The breath that doesn't just exist, but the breath that breathes life. into something. Another translation says it's breath that moves the body. You've seen somebody when on the films or whatever else, and they're like, is there any signs of life? And then they just see the chest rising and falling. And you're like, it's the breath that moves the body. And so we read about this wind that comes, this wind that is the breath of God. And the beginning life of the church came through this breath. And then it says they saw what seemed like tongues of fire that came to rest on them. And you're like, well, I don't really get the imagery of this. It's kind of slightly strange, tongues of fire. But imagine the shape of a flame. It wasn't actually talking about tongues. It was talking about the shape. They saw what seemed like flames shaped like a tongue that came to rest on each of them. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit came. But what we read about several times in the Old Testament is that fire often represented the presence of God. You think about when Moses had an encounter with the burning bush. He knew that this wasn't just a random bush. This was the presence of God in that moment. We read about the flames over Mount Sinai. We read about the pillar of fire that guided the Israelites. Flames and fire often represented for us the presence of God. So we read about the wind of God that represents the power, and we read about the fire of God, which represents the presence of God. And how could any church ever exist without the power and the presence of God? If we're void of the power and the presence of God, then you've had a really good Christian karaoke session, and you've listened to a motivational speaker who kept referring to this same book that he's been reading for 42 years. But if this is the house of God, our pursuit is for the power and the presence of God. Because without those things, we're like an empty balloon. We've got nothing to offer. There's a structure, but there's no life. And it's when the breath and the fire of God came, the power and the presence of God came, that something didn't just happen, but something started. That's why it's the birth of the church. It wasn't just we celebrate a moment of some people that had a good encounter with the power of God and then they went off. But we celebrate that when the Holy Spirit came, something began. Something started in this moment and it went on to change the world. Now let's just pause for a moment. We're about halfway through the message. Let's take a moment and pause. For some of you, this is really normal. You're like, yep, Pentecost Sunday, knew he was going to preach from Acts chapter 2. Just knew it. Could have stayed in bed and read my own Bible. It's normal. We talk about the movements of the power of God, the Holy Spirit, the fire of God, speaking in other tongues, prophesying. You're like, yep, knew it was going to happen Pentecost Sunday. Absolutely average sermon. Thanks very much. It's normal. For others of you, you're thinking, but it's a bit strange though, right? This whole Holy Spirit, God the Father, get it. God the Son, get it. God the Holy Spirit, I kind of struggle to understand it doesn't fit very well into my logical understanding of what's happening here. This is a bit strange. Let me just clear this up for you. This is a little bit strange. This is not normal. This is not normal. It's not. You don't read it in your average books. If you were looking for a motivational speaker, you wouldn't find this in that context. You're like, okay, get out and do something good, absolutely. But the Spirit of God, and it's sometimes called the Holy Ghost, I don't understand fully what's happening here. This is a little bit unusual. This is not normal. And I agree. But let me tell you this. I am so thankful that the Almighty God, that the All-Powerful God, that the creator of the entire universe, the supernatural power of God, I'm so thankful that it doesn't fit easily into my box of understanding. I'm so thankful for that. Because imagine if you and I could fathom everything there was to know about the creation of the universe, about the supernatural power of God. If we could logically understand it all, then our God's not that big in the first place. Yeah, like tick that box. I've learned everything there is to know about the almighty, all-powerful, supernatural power of God. I'm so thankful that God does things in a way that are differently than I would ever anticipate. That his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts, Isaiah tells us. And I'm so thankful that this supernatural God doesn't fit into my box of understanding of I get everything about that. And just like that, in Acts chapter 2, there were people who were experiencing this great move of God that 2,000 years later, we pick up and say, it's Pentecost Sunday, we're going to read Acts chapter 2. And we're like, come on, this is amazing. But there are people even in that moment of, what is happening here? This doesn't seem normal to us. And so you go on and you read the rest of Acts chapter 2, and they all start speaking in other tongues, and there's thousands of people that are gathered in that moment. And some of them are like, I don't really get what's going on here. Who's the weirdos in the church? And is it, could it possibly be that they're drunk? And Peter gets up and is like, all right, close your mouth. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. We're not drunk. This isn't, insert your own other place of a town or city that you hate. This isn't that place over there. I was going to name some locations, won't do that. Peter says, hey, calm down. And in verse 12, I love this. Verse 12 says, amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? They were amazed, wow, God is doing something. And they were a little bit concerned about it because they didn't really have a logical box that they could fit it into. This is amazing, but I don't really get it. This is clearly God doing something, but I can't wrap my head around how or why. It doesn't really compute with some of the ways that I've thought before. They were amazed and they were perplexed. This is really helpful for us, I think. This is really helpful for when your non-Christian friends are talking to you about the things of God that you can't quite understand. You're like, and they're asking you all these questions. You're like, yeah, sometimes, you know, I don't understand it all, but I'm thankful that there's a God that is big enough that I don't have to understand all of his ways to know his power and experience his goodness in my life. Because for many of us, we hear about the Holy Spirit, or we have an encounter with the presence of God, or we have a moment at Elevate Getaway or at Rise Conference or a Sunday or in a prayer meeting or in a life group, and somebody's moving in the gifts of the Spirit, somebody's speaking in tongues, or somebody gives a word of prophecy, and you're like, this is amazing, but I don't really understand all of it. Well, just like the people in Acts, we're amazed and we're perplexed. And that's a brilliant tension for your faith to have, because it keeps us dependent and devoted on the things of God, not relying on our own rationale, not relying on our own logical thinking, but saying, God, I want an encounter with your Spirit. I want to know the supernatural. I don't want to know the natural power of God at work. I want to know the supernatural power of God at work in my life. Many of you will have heard about Noah's healing a few weeks ago. If you haven't, if you're new to church, my son Noah has for many years had a chronic illness that's caused lots of different pain conditions and dislocations of joints and everything else. And around September last year, something really dramatic happened within that escalated the levels of pain. And so for 6 months, he was either in a wheelchair or at best on crutches every moment of the day, other than being in bed. And so for 6 months, we were kind of navigating this disability of how does this work, and wrestling it with our faith as well, and say, God, we're believing for something greater. We've prayed for healing. Why is something not happening? And we were in this tension. And 6 weeks ago, he walked into a night at the Elevate Getaway. And on the final night, we were believing for God to move, as we always do in everybody's life. And me and Gail happened to be present that night. And so there's this great time of worship happening, and that song, Living in Me, is going off on another level. And Ed was preaching, and there was this moment towards the end of the night where we were praying about all sorts of things, praying for the Holy Spirit to come and move in lives, praying and believing that what happened in the early church isn't finished then, but is still alive and active in us today, despite our age, despite our experience, that God is looking for our openness and our availability to his Spirit, and praying for different people for different needs. And there was prayer that took place for Noah that night for healing. And I've got a photo on my phone. Me and Waddy were rocking the tech desk at the back. And I took a photo slightly from the tech desk of all his friends gathered around praying for him, not just to pray, but to believe that the Holy Spirit that was present then is still present today, that is still changing lives today. And he walked into that moment on crutches with a wheelchair waiting in the boot. He dropped those crutches that day. They haven't been picked up now for over 6 weeks. No crutch, no wheelchair. And in the room that night, there was a sense. In that room that night where we've been praying, not just for that moment, but we've been praying for God to move. We've been believing for the significance of the Holy Spirit to go. In that room that night, everyone could sense something of the presence of God, something of the power of God. So when we saw a miracle took place, everybody's like, yeah, of course there's a miracle. Of course it's going to happen. Our faith is at this like massive level. And so it's normal. In that moment, it's normal. It's like another miracle over here, another miracle over there. Absolutely no problem. Do you know, we saw some healings taking place at Belong Women's Conference last week as well. People reporting significant things changing. Some of them I can't tell you the stories of because they're too private. God is still moving and changing lives. But in the room that night, what was normal, if you like, to us, and normal when we talked in church about it and we've celebrated and we've praised God. And to us in faith, we're like, it's amazing, but it's still perplexing. But it's like, it's kind of normal. We've prayed for healing. Of course, we would see healing. But you try being a 16-year-old boy explaining this to a teacher on a random school corridor on a random Wednesday afternoon. They're like, what happened to you? Why aren't you in a wheelchair? And he's like, let me tell you about the power of God. And in that moment, even in a Christian ethos school, they're amazed, but they're mostly perplexed. And they're like, amen. I guess that's the power of prayer. And because it doesn't fit easily into our boxes. Doesn't go with our logical thinking. Amazed and perplexed. And a move of the Holy Spirit is always amazing and perplexing. But here's the thing, the more you know of God, the more amazing it gets. The more you know of his presence, the more you know of his power, the more you know of the breath of God breathed, not just into certain occasions, not just for conferences, not just events, but the more you live with the reality that God breathes life into my life every day, that I can know his power, I can live with his presence, the more amazing it gets and the less perplexing it is. When the Holy Spirit isn't just reserved for an occasion, but is pursued in our everyday lives. And when we study the Holy Spirit in the New Testament as we're doing, it helps us with our history. It helps us, those of you who sit in your history GCSEs, I don't know if this is coming up. No, Gail knows the curriculum really well. It helps us with our history, that this is where the church was birthed, that as the church, this is our origin story. This is where it began. You can trace the movement of the church around the world. You can trace it back to this moment in Jerusalem, in the upper room, when 120 people were waiting on the power of God. So this is our origin story, but it's not where the story finished. You see, the Holy Spirit came upon the church, and it's not just our history, it's our inheritance as believers. And if we relegate it just to something that happened, then it sits in the books of church history. And we're like, well, something took place that day, but it stopped in that moment. And we relegate it to a moment in history rather than a movement of God's Spirit today. But it's not our history, it's our inheritance. That as believers in Christ, as people who are pursuing the power and the presence and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, it's our inheritance today that what happened then is still happening. That healings then can still happen today. Prophetic words then can still happen today. Speaking other tongues then can still happen today. It's our inheritance as believers. And it's not just meant to stay in the history book. The Holy Spirit is not for just reading or reflecting, it's for receiving. That we would receive, each one of us, the power of the Holy Spirit. That was always God's intention. And Jesus said it this way in Acts chapter 1, just before where we read about the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 1, from verse 8. These are the words of Jesus. He says, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This verse, these words, are the last words, the last recorded words of Jesus before his ascension to heaven. And I'm sure he was really intentional with the final opportunity to speak to his earthly disciples about what they need to remember before he's taken from their sight. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So first of all, there's a promise of power. Just as he's spoken about before, he reminds them of today that I'm not leaving you alone. I'm not leaving you as orphans. I'm going to send the other counselor to come and be with you. The Holy Spirit will come. And so there's this great promise of power, but there's also a calling of purpose. He didn't just say, hey, you hang out here, the Holy Spirit will come, and you'll just have a great time together. You'll just have the best holy huddle that has ever happened in the history of the church, bearing in mind the history of the church is this one day. There was a promise of power, but then there's this great calling of purpose. He said to them, hey, receive power and be my witnesses. Receive power and do something with it. Receive power and go and make a difference in your world. And so there's these two things taking place in the final words of Jesus, a promise of power and a calling of purpose. And the purpose that he spoke about was to go to Jerusalem, to all Judea, to Samaria, and to the ends of this earth. Does it mean we're all going on a missions trip? No. If you get the opportunity, you probably should. But no, it doesn't mean that we have to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, but it means that we get to live our lives on mission. That if we are people who've put our faith in Christ, who've been empowered by his Holy Spirit, the whole purpose was not that you keep that to yourself so that you can have a nice Christian, comfortable existence, knowing that God is with me, that by the power of Spirit, I'm never alone, and yet we do nothing with it. Remember, the breath of God is the breath that breathes life. That life would be selfish if it was just kept to ourselves. I'm so thankful that the Almighty God loves me enough that he breathed life, gave me the power of his Spirit, and I just kept it to myself. There was a promise of power, but a calling of purpose. And when he says those names, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, what it represents is our town, our region, our nation, in our world. So he says, hey, there's a promise of power for you. There's a promise of power for each one of us. And it's not meant to be kept with us. It's to go out to Richmond, to North Yorkshire, to England, and to the nations of this world. That we're called not to keep to ourselves what God has done, but to be equipped, to be set on fire, if we can use that term, to then go and do something with it, to make a difference in our world. It wasn't just for then. It's for now. And when Jesus first spoke of the promise of the Holy Spirit earlier in the Gospels, and we'll read a passage in a moment from John, but when Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit, when he first promised that the Holy Spirit would come, he put no limitations on that promise. No limitations, no time restrictions on that promise. And over the years, when you study church history, over the years, there are various things that have perhaps started and started with its origins totally in the right place. But over years of tradition, sometimes they've placed limitations. That when you read about the expansion of different denominations over the years that were started here, this is the origin story, not just of a Pentecostal church, of every church. No matter what size or denomination or age or background, the beginning of the church, capital T, capital C, starts here as a Pentecostal church. But over the years, through the ages of time, some denominations have come and they've placed limitations or restrictions, or they've become so consumed with the traditions that have actually lost sight of the authenticity of the Word of God, or they've become so focused on traditions that they've stopped seeking something fresh of a move of God, or they've become so focused on the natural that they've stopped seeking the supernatural power of God. But what started then, Jesus placed no limitations, no time scale, no geographical restrictions, no historical or age-based restrictions, because in John chapter 14, verse 16, he said these words, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. Some translations say another counselor, another helper. I will send you another advocate to come and to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. They're more perplexed than they are amazed. The world cannot see him because they neither see him or know him. But you will know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So what Jesus promised for us about the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the breath of God that comes to breathe life into everyone, into every season, into every generation, he placed no limitations, no restrictions on that promise. Because God's purpose was always that the gift of the Holy Spirit would empower us not just to feel good, but to go and make a difference in our world for the kingdom of God. That was always God's heart for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's why that's our vision as a church, for each of us to be empowered. That doesn't come through gathering. That doesn't come. It comes from our pursuit of the Holy Spirit. Our vision as a church is that you would be empowered to make a difference in your world for the kingdom of God. The reason that's our vision as a church is because we lifted it. Total plagiarism right from the Bible. And said, if that was God's purpose then, this is our pursuit now. If that was our history, it's also our inheritance as a church. That we too can be empowered. That we too can know the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, not to be kept to ourselves, but so that we can then go and make a difference in our world for the kingdom of God. That was the heart of the Holy Spirit. That was the heart of the gift of the counselor, of the advocate that would come. To not be kept to ourselves, to not be kept to our holy huddles, but to reach out to the world around us. To every town and village and housing estate and army regiment and school classroom and business boardroom and factory yard and farm yard and supermarket and office block and wherever it is that you spend a large portion of your time, God has a purpose for what he's portioned for you. For where he's placed you, he has a purpose in mind. That we be empowered by his Spirit to be able to be his witnesses in Richmond, in North Yorkshire, in England, and right across our world. And it's the source of power to each of those efforts that we are equipped by the Holy Spirit. And the example of the early church for us, we continue as a church in the 21st century to go back and say, God, help us to be authentic to this. And so it's the example of the early church, not just that the Spirit came, because sometimes I think, particularly as Pentecostal Christians, we're guilty of those moments where we have those holy huddles where something significant happens and we all feel good about it and everybody else never hears about it because it's normal in here. It's really abnormal out in the world. And we're guilty sometimes of keeping to ourselves, but the example of the church is that they didn't stay in that moment of encounter. That almost instantaneously, they couldn't help but tell others about the difference that the Holy Spirit was making in their life. And not everybody understood it, and some people accused them of being drunk, and some people called them weirdos and whatever else, but they couldn't help but tell others. Because what started here in this moment spread around the world. Even in Bible times, before we get to the end of the book of Acts, it's probably about 20, 30 years on from the day of Pentecost that we read about. And by the time we've got to the end of the book of Acts, already the gospel has gone significantly far. Multiple nations. It's gone to kings and rulers and authorities. It's gone to the highest places of political power in the known world at that time because these disciples were convinced that they'd been empowered and they'd been sent, that it wasn't supposed to stay. And the fact that we can gather in a church, in a random town, in a small pocket of North Yorkshire, and know something about the power of the Holy Spirit is testament to what God did that day, to what started and what continued to spread around the world. Because the Holy Spirit is the work of God in the church and through the church. Let's stand.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from Influence Church. For any more information, visit our website, influencechurch.co.uk. Influence Church, empowering you to make a difference in your world for the kingdom of God.